Lord, please hear and answer our prayers as we lift them up to you today. Lord, we think of the many among us that have lost loved ones. We pray, Lord, for your comfort, for the families and the friends that are dealing with loss at this time. In particular, Lord, we pray for the Dixon family who lost their son Sam, sophomore at Beaver County Christian School. He died recently, Lord, and he's affected many people here at Geneva. We just pray that those that know the family would be a support for them, and we pray that you would comfort all who are deeply impacted by Sam's death. We pray, too, Lord, for the family and friends of Clara Lou Rhodes, who worked here at Geneva for many years on campus, as she died recently as well. Lord, we lift up the memorial service that we'll have for Devin Minor next week. We pray especially for Devin's aunt, Gail Barlow, who will be present with us next week. She's had a hard time, Lord, and we just pray that you would comfort her. We pray that this time next week would be a blessing to her and to our community here as we grieve his death. Lord, we pray for your healing touch for those that are ill and sick. We pray for especially Debbie Cashdollar from our access office as she had a stroke last week. Lord, we praise you that she's recovering. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to help her to move out of ICU this week. We pray for her healing and recovery. Lord, we pray too for Neil Best, his family, our director of residence life. Pray for his wife, Susie, who had an emergency C-section last week. We praise you and thank you that she and the baby are fine. Help them as they recover and heal. And Lord, we also lift up this morning Becky Case, our Pisgah director, as she's having shoulder surgery right now. We pray that you would comfort her and bring a speedy recovery for her. Lord, we lift up our whole community to you, all of our students, staff, and faculty, as we transition from summer now into this new academic year. Help us as we change routines, and we pray that you would give us the strength and the endurance to do good work for you and for your glory. Lord, we thank you for all of our freshmen, and we thank you for the Our Town project that they did last Saturday, and we pray that all those that were helped by us in the community were blessed, and we pray that the students themselves were blessed as they did that work and service for them in your name. And Lord, finally, we want to lift up Ryan White, one of our students who just recently got his orders to be redeployed in Afghanistan in October. We pray that you be with Ryan and his family as they work with him as he prepares to defend our country in Afghanistan. We pray that you would bring him safely back to us. Lord, we also remember that this week was the anniversary of the International Prison Chaplains Association founding. And Lord, we lift up all of the chaplains across our country that are doing the hard work of giving love to a part of society that many people don't want to love, that many people don't want to forgive. We pray that the prison chaplains would be used by you to comfort those prisoners and to bring the gospel to those in prison, to bring freedom in Christ to those who need it. Lord, and finally, we lift up all those affected by Hurricane Irene this past week. As there's cleanup going on the East Coast, we pray that you would provide the funds, the resources, and the energy and the time that's needed for people to get back on their feet and for things to get back to regular routine. Lord, you are mighty, and we see it in the way the world has been designed. We see it in the way that we respond, because it's only through you, Lord, that we can bring goodness to those around us. Help us to never forget that. So, Lord, use us. We pray that you would bless Geneva College, bless us in this new academic year. Help us, Lord, to do all things for your glory. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ we do pray. Amen.
Revelation 4, 11 through 14. Then I looked and heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped.
What do you think of when you think of gifts? One of my theories through the years is that what we do at Christmas, is less about gifts than it is about exchange. They gave us this much, so we should spend that much. And it's less sort of just a gift than it is, well, we all have to kind of do this. Have you ever received a gift that simply blew you away? I don't know about you, but I'm always one of those people that kind of has a little list of things. If people say, "What would you want?" Okay. Remember the first year I was dating my wife, and she was from Iowa and farm girl, but what I really wanted, I was a sophomore, but what I really wanted for Christmas was a road racing set. This was, Nancy gave me a projector screen. Wasn't on my radar. Her family doesn't do toys very much, so I'm sort of, if there's going to be toys for the guys in our family, I'm usually the one that goes and gets it. But every once in a while, my family would surprise me, and then I sort of got this sense, especially at Christmas time, what I got for Christmas was not so much a gift, but it was a statement by my grandmother that I had been a good boy. I mean, that's what the Christmas carol says. You know, he knows if you've been naughty or nice, so you better be good, or you don't get anything. But this one time I got a gift that was beyond comprehension, beyond belief. I was about 14, and the assistant pastor of our church who had come started befriending me, probably because I was at that point where I could have drifted away. So we went hunting together. We went ice skating together. Remember when I got my learner's permit, my dad was really nervous, and I was out with Father Phil, and we were on this back road, and there was a car in front of me. He said, "Go ahead and pass him." He said, "Pass him? Go ahead and pass him." And I did, and I didn't kill anybody. He was that kind of guy. And he had two little girls that I would babysit from time to time. And I discovered in his house when I was babysitting, he had two antique flintlock pistols. They were just fascinating. They were 1850s or something like that. And one night we were down there, and Father Phil walked over with the two pistols, one in each hand. He said, "I want to give you a gift." And even then, I had a sense that these things are really valuable. I said, I could never take that. He said, "Dean, I'm offering you a gift. Take one." So I did. Want to put the picture up? It's this one. It is a double-barreled flintlock pistol. It's about 55 caliber, which means about the power of a 20-gauge shotgun. Sucker is really powerful. It's like, whoa. Like, man, I've never fired it for obvious reasons. Okay? But show the next picture. You sort of see it here, but in the next picture, the key of this is it has a silver inlaid dragon on the barrel. The craftsmanship of this is incredible. I recently took it to a guy that deals with this, and I said, "So what do you think?" And he just looked at it and said, "That's priceless." Well, not priceless, but I'd never be able to afford it, probably. And for him to give me this gift was just crazy. It was crazy love. By the way, when you think of that pistol, think of Johnny Depp, Pirates of the Caribbean. I always refer to it as the Pirate's pistol, except this sucker is really heavy. I don't know how long, you can't stand and do that very long, or you're going to wear out. But it was crazy love. And for the chapel this year, we've chosen the theme, Crazy Love, based on Francis Chan's book by that title. By the way, This is the official announcement. Crazy Love is available in the bookstore. Normally $16, $17. In the bookstore, $12. With a student ID, $6. And Chapel pays the rest of it for you. Last year we went through 100 of the book we were using. We had to order another 100. I would love to order another 100. I'd love to order 300. I'd love to spend $1,800 so the students have the book, right? Faculty, you can get it for $12, right? So it's available. They're not students. They're on their own, right? Crazy Love, by the way, not Crazy Stupid Love. That's a new movie that's a little weird, all right? But Crazy Love is crazy because it's undeserved. Actually, it's more than undeserved. It's the opposite of what we deserve. Imagine for a moment a pastor, man of God, being told by God he should go and marry a prostitute. And that's a strange message, but he does it. And they get married, and she bears to him a son. But then she goes back into adultery and prostitution. And she's kind of, I think she's kind of in and out. She has two more children. But they're not his, and he knows they're not his, so he names the one unloved. How'd you like that? And he names the other not mine. I'm like, whoa. I mean, you could sort of, you little, never mind. Okay, you get the point, right? So his wife has been sleeping around. She's had two more children. So what's next? Well, it seems to me at that point that divorce is pretty appropriate. Jesus would approve. It's like, look, she's really been unfaithful. But God tells him to go get her and bring her back. Bring back the unfaithful wife, care for her, and take in the children? That's crazy. Now maybe you recognize the story. It's Hosea, minor prophet in the Old Testament. And the two little illegitimate children are unloved and not mine. But the story of Hosea is a picture of God's crazy love for his unfaithful people, Israel. And in that, God says, an unloved will become loved, and not mine will be declared mine. What does that have to do with us? That in the book of Romans, in the New Testament, Paul says, you and I are unloved, and we're not God's. We're more children of the devil than we are the children of God. That's what Jesus says. See, we don't walk around saying, so who are you? I'm unloved. No, I'm illegitimate. It's not the kind of thing you brag about. And yet, that's what Paul says. We need to understand that. It's crazy love because we're the children of the unfaithful wife. Now, when we think about ourselves, especially think about ourselves in relationship to God, we tend to think, I think it's a Western thing, it's especially an American thing, we're pretty good people. We're not too bad, and therefore anything God does for us is sort of deserved. We have this entitlement. But the Bible gives us a couple of illustrations to describe how God sees us. In Isaiah 64, Isaiah, talking to Israel, who is boasting about its self-righteousness, Isaiah says, all our righteousness is like filthy rags. Now, there are points at which the Bible gets really crass. And unfortunately, in our culture, we like to whitewash it. Let's sort of sanitize the whole thing and make it not say some of those icky, nasty things. But the Bible sometimes uses some pretty offensive images to get our attention. So when Isaiah wants to describe what our self-righteousness looks like to God, he uses the term filthy rags, and it is translated used menstrual garments. It's striking. It's repulsive. One of my colleagues say, can you not use something that's a little less icky? I could, but God doesn't. Let me try another illustration, the parallel to filthy rags. And anyone know what a chamber pot is? A few of you, okay? You go online, did I sort of check? I went on Google, wanted to see about chamber pots. You know, and they're nice pots, and the wealthy had nice. They were ornate, and they were flowery, and they looked really neat. You know, so we buy them, and we put them on the table, and we put flowers in them, and doesn't that look pretty? But a chamber pot was invented during the days of the outhouse. And if you needed to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, you didn't want to go out in the cold, wet mud, out to the outhouse where it was dark and everything else. So people invented the chamber pot. It was small enough that it could slide under your bed, okay? And in the middle of the night, when you needed it, you went in the chamber pot. and then you could put a lid on it. And in the morning, but if you were in higher society, the lowest of the maids had to kind of carry the chamber pot out and take care of it. But no matter how nicely, no matter how much we try to make this look really nice, folks, a chamber pot is a chamber pot. And it is made to hold chamber pot contents. Right? I'm trying to be nice. Okay? So imagine the symbols of your righteous deeds. You put them in a pot. You know, here's all these wonderful things that I've done. And you put them in a pot to impress somebody, and you walk in, and here's this lovely little flowery pot. But the problem is, as soon as you take the lid off, it's chamber pot contents. That's your righteousness. That's my self-righteousness. Isn't this great? No. Right? So imagine your righteous deeds. But the lid is lifted off your righteous deeds and its chamber pot contents. Or, if you have seen or read The Help, how many have seen or read The Help? Do you remember what the terrible awful is? Okay. The terrible awful looks like a chocolate pie, but it has a special ingredient in it that's not chocolate. Like, really? That's why she refers to it as the terrible awful. Now, the second illustration I want to use comes from a parable we usually call the prodigal son. Here's the son. He's demanded his inheritance. Basically, he says to his father, I wish you were dead, but since you're not, can I have the money anyway? And he goes off to Las Vegas. Wine, women, and song. But he runs out of money and friends, and you find him then in a hog lot feeding pigs and eating with the pigs. Now, some of you have been around farms, and we all kind of like that. You know, you drive through, oh, that wonderful barn smell, okay? That wonderful barn smell does not come from hogs. A hog lot is muddy. Politely, it's mucky, and it's really nasty, and it smells. I mean, it really, really smells. It clings to your sinuses. It'll clean your sinuses right out. And so the son, living in the hog lot, comes to his senses that I need to go home. My father treats his servants better than this. And on the way home, he's sort of rehearsing, I've sinned against heaven, I've sinned against you. And his father sees him. I think his father actually could smell him. And the father doesn't say to the servants, quick, hose him off, and then we'll talk. The father runs out and embraces this son, this filthy, smelly son. See, that's crazy love. And what we are naturally like stands in marked contrast to God. In Revelation 4, which we read sort of at the end of the colic, it's describing this heavenly scene. It's a room, a throne room of overwhelming splendor and beauty. Four amazing creatures we can hardly even get a hold of. 24 elders in white robes with gold crowns on their heads, and the creatures say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And the elders take their crowns and they cast them at the feet of the one who's on the throne. And they say, you are worthy to receive glory and honor and power. Everything they might claim, they surrender to the one who sits on the throne. Everything you might claim, your looks, your intellect, your wealth, your athletic ability, whatever it might be, if you were in that throne room, you would take that off and you would cast it at the feet of the one on the throne because he is awesome. So imagine yourself entering that scene. There you are, hog lot clothes, chamber pot. And you walk into that scene, how far do you think you would advance before an angel, a very large angel, with a flaming sword, stands in front of you and is about to just destroy you, and a voice comes from the throne and says, stop, wait. This is my child. This child has been redeemed by Jesus Christ, and there are righteous robes to be placed upon them. And the passage that was read by Nate for us is actually, it's my mistake, it's actually, that one's from chapter 5. Because in chapter 5, Jesus steps into the throne room, a lamb who bears the scars of having been killed, but is alive. And he is made for God, he is purchased for God by his death, a people from every tribe and tongue and race and nation. And he steps forth, and now worship is directed to him. He died to make filthy people clean and sinful people redeemed. He died to make them new creatures who are adopted by the Father King and who are then progressively made more and more like Jesus. The New Testament summarizes it by simply saying, while we were yet sinners, filthy with chamber pots, Christ died for us. Now, folks, that's outrageous. That's crazy. I mean, Paul even uses that in the passage. You know, for a good man, you might lay down your life. For somebody super rich, you might be willing to, you know, do something. But nobody does this for their enemies. Nobody does this for people who are filthy and despicable. That's crazy love. And what do the scriptures say to you? You need to, first of all, admit that you need that kind of crazy love. You need to admit that, as a matter of fact, this righteousness that you're walking around with that you think is so great is a chamber pot. This outward self-righteousness is filthy rags. And then you come to God and you plead that what God has done for us through Jesus Christ might be yours. And Jesus said, whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. But you come, first of all, recognizing that you need crazy love. But you come expecting that that crazy love can be applied to you. And you come recognizing that God's crazy love for us calls for crazy love from us for him. To come desirous of receiving that crazy love for the God who has shown crazy love for you through Jesus. Pray with me. Father, we confess that we really do think we're pretty good stuff. We confess we get this mentality that somehow salvation is owed to us, or we have earned it or deserved it. So help us to face the filthy rags, the chamber pot, the hoglot clothes, and come acknowledging we need something that's more than superficial, but something that will transform us from the inside out. We need that kind of crazy love, and that's the kind of God you are. You come offering us crazy love and inviting us to come and experience. Help us to do that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.